You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
This is Talking with the Pros.
The Pros.
Like professionals.
This is Talking with the Pros with me, Jess B. I speak to the professionals in the world of audio to gain an insight into what it takes to become a pro. Talking with the Pros. This is talking to the professionals in the world of audio. Definitely everybody has a valid experience. People coming from different aspects of the production, everything you have to offer. I think a lot of it is interconnected, a very collaborative effort. You know, there's the behind the scenes, there's the front and everything in between. So really getting all of your experiences as a professional and how it relates to the world of audio, everything does. Because at the end of the day, if you're not hearing something, then what's the show? Yeah, you could stand up in the stage.
And, totally.
You know, but we're coming to hear an experience regardless of seeing somebody, right?
Right.
You can see somebody all day long, but it's what they have to offer. So it's really audio experience.
You can't be a sound guy without the talent, right? Without the singer, without the person in front. Cool thing about this is people who are interested or getting people interested in audio, they're doing it also for their own production, like for your own, you know, musical endeavors. What's cool about Gabriel is actually knows all about audio all on his own. Like he studied this stuff. Like he does sound, even when like sound guys aren't around, he'll like do the front of house. He'll do everything.
He'll
do it from the stage. But he's also a shredding, amazing guitarist. Like he's insane.
I'm excited.
We're so hyped to have you. As you could tell, we're really excited to talk to you. So
thanks for having me.
Of course.
So awesome.
Welcome, Gabriel. Thank you for being here today with Talking with the Professionals. And of course, I'm joined here with my wonderful co-host, Polly. What's up?
Yo, what's up? Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, Gabriel, I know you're an innovator, you're a visionary, you're a man doing the thing in this world of audio, a professional nonetheless. So, take us into what it is that you do on a daily basis, which I'm sure is multifaceted. So,
yeah, I'm a full-time musician, primarily. I play guitar and keyboards, and I sing for various bands, my main band being my metal band, Immortal Guardian. The way I got into audio was just over the years getting tired of having bad audio. You know, either there was no sound guy at the shows or the sound guy just didn't know much. He was learning like I was. And then eventually the frustration grows and you're just like, I got to learn how all this stuff works, man, because it's just good to understand it all. Like
artists, and you have a specific craft and you want to present your work in a specific way.
Yep.
So wanting to know how you can get your sound sounding the best and how you intended it so that the audience, the listeners can enjoy it.
Yeah. My dad used to tell me all the time, because my dad is also a musician, and he was like, the first thing you do when you get to a venue is become best friends with the sound guy, because you could be in the best band in the world, be super well rehearsed and everything, but if the sound isn't good, you're just going to sound horrible no matter what. It's definitely crucial, like what Paulie was saying before we started, like the talent of the musicians and whatever is being presented needs to be just as good as the actual audio. It's an ecosystem that feeds itself. That's
definitely,
for sure.
Definitely an ecosystem, something you guys are hand in hand together working to craft and produce live, bringing the audience to your music and sound. Being best friends or friending or even just speaking to the audio guy is like the essential step one before you go on, just so that you're both on the same page. What do you think?
I think the market now demands not only artists learn how to be artists and how to present their art, but they also learn the technical side at the same time. It's like you're learning how to be a producer, how to mix audio. What is 44.1? What is 96K? Like you're doing all of this behind the scenes stuff that took multiple jobs back in the day. Also with Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you're learning the behind the scenes. You're doing it all on your own in-house in your bedroom studio or on stage, thousands of people watching you, and knowing those things just so fundamental to presenting your art in today's market. Because today's market, the demand is just, you need to know those things in order to overcome challenges, you know, presenting your art nowadays.
Yeah, like as the years go by, I've definitely ramped up my video content. I've been making video content for like over 10 years. And back in the day, every time I made a video, I had to hire an audio guy to help me mix down the song or whatever. And that was back in like the early days of YouTube. Now, as content creators, we're forced to put so many pieces out per week, almost daily. And if I were to hire somebody for every piece, I'd be super broke. Eventually, one day, same thing. It was just like, okay, I don't want to learn how to do this, but I need to learn how to do this. That's the way today's market is. Like you're saying, it moves so much faster. You got to have more skills on your plate in order to get it all done. And I'm so glad I did. At the time, I really hated that I had to learn all this stuff. But now that I get it, you respect the art. You know how to do it now. You save yourself tons of. You actually make money doing it for other people. You know, if you want to, it's just really cool. I went full circle with like hating audio to being like, oh, once you get it, this thing's pretty cool. You know, it makes it sound even better.
Okay, so what I'm really excited about is Gabriel's a guitarist, but he's not just any guitarist. He's literally one of the best in the world. And I've known this.
I paid Paul a lot of money to say that.
And no, I'm not joking. I'm not joking because when I'm doing sound for him, we actually work in the same company, and he's come by, and I've done sound for him.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Alongside just doing the sound for him, and I'm shocked because when he's playing and performing, he sounds exactly like one of my favorite guitarists. Jason Richardson, which is like
an
amazing shredding guitarist, right? But Gabriel is not only as good, I think he's better because he can shred just like Jason, but also plays piano at the same time. He's shredding on piano at the same time.
He's got four hands.
It's insane. It's like the craziest thing ever. And he's doing it musically. He's like a super high achieving expert level. If you're playing Guitar Hero, he's just, I mean, he's not even on the scale of expert. It's like past. Like, it's insane. He's so good.
Hey, X Games.
Yeah. X Games mode.
It's like if Red Bull had a competition for guitar, like, he's the winner. Like,
oh, man. Thanks, man. It means a lot, dude. I definitely think I have a lot of work to do, but, you know, I've been doing this long enough that, It feels weird to hear something like that. So thank you, man.
I can attest to this too. Yeah. I mean, I had the pleasure of joining you at the barbershop at the Cosmopolitan.
Yep.
That show was amazing. And let me give you kudos to your showmanship in getting that room excited nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, it was I love those such shows.
It's like 3 hours of nonstop, no breaks, just rocked it the whole way.
The interaction and the fandom, and these are people seeing you for the first time. So that's a testament to what you bring as an artist and your performance. So yeah, of course.
But he's also curious and learns more than just what he's good at. Like, he's good at guitar, he's amazing at piano, he can shred on both instruments and play in any key at any time.
He's multifaceted. Let's talk about your audio. I know you have a setup. I follow you on Instagram, so shout out to your Instagram page.
Thank you.
Let them know how to follow you.
Yeah, my Instagram, at Gabriel Guardian, pretty much anything, YouTube, Facebook, just look up my name, Gabriel Guardian, you'll find me there.
And on that, you were showcasing your rack.
Yes.
So your audio rack.
Yes.
And just a little thing. I'm like, oh, just working on this, no big deal.
Yeah, so what I like to do is for every tour/show, it's like a per basis kind of thing. Like, I don't have a one solution to everything. It's kind of like, all right, who are we going on tour with? Okay, are we headlining? Are we support? Okay, how much time do we have to set up? Okay, dude. So we got a tour coming up this April and May, the spring, with Firewind, this awesome power metal band from Greece, and the guitar player of that band is Ozzy Osbourne's last guitarist, Gus G. He's an awesome dude, and we're going on tour as a support band, so we're not headlining, so we don't have all the time in the world to sound check. Knowing what it's like to be on tour, it's probably not going to happen like half or even more than half the amount of times. You're just going to show up, and everything's going to be running late, and get on stage, you got to go now. So for this particular tour, I had to like brainstorm, okay, what's a setup I can use that's going to take the least amount of time to plug in every day, yet give me incredible results. Mm-hmm. What I use is an X32 rack with like a split snake, where it pretty much gets our signals and splits it into two different places. And one of the splits, it goes to my in-ear monitor rack, so the whole band can you know, have their own in your mixes and stuff. And the other split goes to front of house so that we're not traveling with our own engineer on this tour, this run. The house guy is just going to mix us every night. So I got to be able to like give him the tails like super fast. I got down that rack that you saw on Instagram. Like I can probably set that thing up in like maybe 3 to 5 minutes, like the whole stage show.
Plug and play.
Yeah, it's insane. Like it used to take us like half an hour to an hour to set up. Now I literally need 3 to 5 minutes and we're ready to go.
And I think the audio guys that you're coming with and wherever you show up are going to appreciate. They're going to be blown away.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
like, what is this? Dude, you did this? They're
gonna every
be
front
gushing.
Of house dude
yeah.
loves us because they're mm-hmm. just like, you just did my job. This is amazing. All I got to do is ride faders. Like, hell yeah, you know. So, you know, we try to do our own sound as much as we can. But, I mean, if I could play on stage and do my own sound, I would. But mm-hmm. you just physically can't. You can't. You don't know what it sounds like out there because you can't stand out there and be on stage. Yeah. So I do realize there are some things in your career you can't do at all. You can try to make a template. You can try to tell your sound guy how you want it to sound or give him some tips, but you'll never be up there while you're up there. So, that's always my tip to people is just like, whether you're doing like a long tour, big tour like that, or you're doing something like a small local show, sound is something that a lot of people overlook. And it isn't until they get to the venue that they're like, oh, we don't have any mics. No one thought about bringing those or no one thought about, you know, the speakers that like, it's and like I musicians think, are so I creative. Think, you don't mm-hmm. think about the.
Exactly. And that's what your dad was telling you is a piece of advice is really getting a piece and control over the creative process.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, you're trying to create a fan base. You're trying to get your musicianship on display, on the stage, the best to your ability.
Yeah.
So being a part of the audio experience, like you said, you can't be two places at once.
Yeah.
But as long as you know you're giving the tools, you know about the tools, you can speak that language, which is two different languages as a musician and an audio engineer. But at the end of the day, you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You're coming together, performing at the same time, one's behind the scenes.
I used to hate when I didn't like the way something sounded, but there was nothing I could do about it. They're like, oh, you don't like the way your mic sounds. What do you want me to do? I don't know. You know, so now at least I can be like, oh, roll off some, you know, the 4K, it's feedbacking. Or you can, when you learn a little bit about sound, which I recommend to all artists, musicians out there, is just learn the very basics and your sound guy and your fans will thank you later because, you know, knowing those basics, it's like getting an oil change. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to know how to fix the whole thing, but just those basics will get you far in life.
It's definitely on trend for sure.
I'm shocked by how so many guitarists, they love getting into their sound. When you're in the guitar world, I've noticed because I'm playing guitar now, I'm learning how to play it. And there's so many pedals, there's so many different like marketing things. There's so many companies. You can get into hundreds of thousands of dollars of gear in just like little tiny pedals and big building your own rack, right? But I'm shocked because at the end of the chain is the audio guy. And a lot of the sound's going to change depending on the venue, depending on even the album, depending on the track in the recording studio and how it's going to be processed with other instruments. The mix of your guitar is going to change. And I just notice guitarists struggling all the time with good sound because they know what their guitar sounds like when it's really good for them. But the second they step into a studio environment or a live environment, they are thrown off completely. So how do you overcome audio? Do you approach audio as a musician or as a sound guy?
Well, what's beautiful about, like in my band, Immortal Guardian, our guitar player, Joshua, he was originally our studio engineer. He was like our producer. He like recorded us like an album or two. And then I was like, hey, man, would you like to join the band? Like, I think we'd work great together. So it was cool to see somebody go, like I saw him as an audio dude to becoming our guitarist. I learned so much from him. And just like you said, like, how do you approach things? I've always approached things as a musician, trying to make sense of what all these knobs make, right? But he's really, working with him has been great because he is the musician sound guy. So he understands both worlds. So now when we're writing together, Oh, check out this cool little keyboard part. What do you think about it? I think it's cool, but you should play it an octave higher because those frequencies won't mesh with the guitar. And I'm like, I didn't even think about that. It's like, it's not that the melody's not cool or not that the part doesn't sound good. It's just if you do it like this, you're making my audio part easier because I don't have to do all these funky EQs. Everything will just fit. Like they say, it's like everything has a place on the EQ shelf. Everything kind of just lines up right
inside the mix, right? Like,
so now I try to think like that in everything I do. It's like, especially the biggest curse that us guitar players have when we first start playing guitar is a lot of the times we're practicing guitar by ourselves in our bedroom. So we get this particular tone that we fall in love with. We're like, oh my God, that's the sound. It sounds so amazing. Then you go play in a band and that sound does not sound good in a band. But if you were to play at home, the sound that does sound good with the band, you'd be like, this doesn't sound good. Why does it sound so thin or why does it sound so whatever? It's because it's out of context. So that's if there's any beginners out there listening, mm-hmm. what sounds good together doesn't sound good on its own and vice versa. So you almost got to like accept that when your guitar tone is really awesome on its own, it might not translate.
Or in a room too.
Or in a room, yeah.
Different rooms have different frequency environments. It's different wall treatment, everything, whether you're hearing something reflecting back to you or not.
And different songs too, and in different, you know, scenarios of composition or whatever serves the song the best. I know this from being a percussionist. If I play an instrument and I know it sounds weird, I know it's going to sound good with the orchestra. Mm. It's going to meld well, even though I'm like hitting it a certain way and it's I don't really like it.
Feels weird, right? On your own, you're like, this sounds dumb.
Yeah. Right, but the conductor is asking me to do it and I do it and then I get it. Yep. And I see why. That's kind of what sound guys are. They're like conductors, but they're moving faders and they're listening to the entire picture. They're the ones in control of that. I'm fascinated because guitarists specifically are the ones that know audio a lot more than everybody else. I've noticed because
we're definitely in our own journey trying to find that perfect tone. It's like all those memes you see, it's just like, just the endless chase for the perfect tone.
Pedal boards, come on. Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh my gosh, I know. Okay, so a friend of mine who's done audio, Sam, friend, mm-hmm. he worked with Five Finger Death Punch's a former guitarist from that band. It was just every day was, how do I refine the wireless, the rack? How do I tune the wireless to sound good, the EQ of the pack with the guitar and then different mm-hmm. guitars and just this whole, and I'm like, guitar sound is like its own world. Yep. And I'm exploring that by playing the instrument now. Yeah. And I'm
so many
shocked.
Pedals, so many,
so boards. Many pedals, mm-hmm. and a lot of guitarists, I think, get overwhelmed just by audio because they want to take control, as they should, because they're the player, they're the artist. It's that it's a relationship with the sound guy. I think you have shocked me with that at work too. I show up at work and I'm like, you have everything plugged in, your whole pedal board is really organized, and it's designed for the purpose.
And like I said, basis to basis kind of thing. I've been playing guitar for over 20 years. And I don't have this like, oh, that's my sound. That's my patch.
Yeah.
It's like, it's silly for me to think. It's like, no, that sounds good for that one tour that I did that one time in those particular clubs. If I could do the same tour, same band, same everything, but if it's a different set of clubs or it's a different set of players or any little variable changes, I will change my tone. So that's what I'm working on actually this week is for this upcoming Firewind tour. I'm trying to work on new guitar tones because I know the one I currently have, is it going to work with this parameters.
I love your forward thinking. And,
I love how humble he is too. He's the most humble, guitarist. Like, it's crazy.
Folly,
it's
got it. Yeah. All right. You're the best. And I know you have so much more offering. Tell me more about what's going on in terms of what's in your tool bag. What other things that you're working on that others may not know?
I love lights and lasers. That's mm-hmm. like a big passion I have. I recently teamed up with the laser company, Unity. I'm going to be doing some awesome new laser content with them. They just sponsored a whole new batch of videos coming up soon. So
Wow. That's
the thing like directly on my plate, besides obviously the tour, that's the thing I get excited about the most. Mm-hmm. Being on the road is my favorite thing to do. What you're going to be seeing on my socials pretty soon is a ton of laser content. Mm-hmm. I love lasers. They're just the coolest thing in the world to me. Definitely lighting and lasers is like 100-fold more of an interest to me than audio. Mm. Audio is something that I've never really liked. I just knew that I had to do it. Mm-hmm. I look at audio like health. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be healthy, but you got to do it. You know, you want to feel good and you want to sound good or whatever. So
yeah, I
see
think
audio.
Lasers is a more creative outlet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I know you're like, oh, it's not audio, but hey, lasers and a show, everything comes together. So tell us a little bit more about how lasers and audio come together.
Yeah, well, the cool part is because I am on stage performing, I can't run my own lasers. So I time code everything. And for anyone listening that doesn't know what time code is, mm-hmm. it's essentially you're pre-programming your entire show to just follow the music and the beat and the melody like exactly how you want it to be. It's like it's like editing a music video, and then you play it back and it plays all these little clips, and it looks amazing, sounds amazing. So,
and it hits.
And it hits. And that's that's what we're doing. Lasers now, you know, I've always felt like metal is lacking lasers. Like every DJ in the world uses them, but I'm like, dude, there's not enough lasers in metal.
I think Trans-Siberian Orchestra is coming to mind right now.
I love those guys. That's like my dream laser show right there. But yeah, bringing a productions like that, especially at the level that we're at, you know, we're not playing arenas, but we're playing like medium sized, real nice nightclubs. And to bring that to, especially when metal fans aren't really used to seeing lasers a whole lot, unless it's at that like arena, Trans-Siberian level, it's just so fun to see people's faces get melted. Like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then working with like audio over the years, I used to, same thing as a laser guy, you know, like when you start programming, you start one way. And then over the years, you kind of mature in your programming, and you realize it's not all just like eye candy, and audio is not just all ear candy. If you make them work together, you make these like big sounding impacts, and it goes in perfect sync with the lasers that you're looking at.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, you know, whoa, like oh it becomes, gosh, yes. becomes a whole nother life when it all works together. So that ecosystem of the audio needs to be good. The lasers need to look good. The band needs to be tight. Like it really, for a good show, and I don't think the average person understands this, like so many things need to go right for a show to hit.
Yeah. And no doubt, yeah, there's so many working parts.
Mm-hmm.
And just you getting a chance to go into those audio and lighting and just crafting everything. So that levels up you as an artist and the experience. No doubt people are going to walk away with a lasting impression, because at the end of the day with audio, it's like, oh yeah, I had a great time, but that sound, well, that was weird. It didn't sound right. Or I was expecting, they don't sound like the album, but like getting it closer to perfection. Sure, we're not going to hit 100%. But that's something we're always aiming for. We're getting to the 99%. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's the fan's experience. And if we're thinking about the fan the whole way, I think we're on the right track.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly it. It's like a movie, right? Us non-movie makers, I don't know if you guys make movies, but we don't realize how much goes into a scene to get that lighting to be exactly like this. And for the dialogue and the actors to get the lines. And there's so much that goes into it. But at the end of the day, we don't need to understand it. We just know that it was amazing and it came together so well. And that's how I feel about the show. I love when a show happens and people aren't questioning how or why. They're just like, wow, that was amazing. I don't even care how it happened. It's just the greatest thing I've seen, you know.
Pre-production, post-production, and then the production.
What got you interested in learning lasers and programming them?
It was actually when I met you, man. When I first started working with Mobius 8, he was the very first guy that I ever saw lasers, and I thought was like, that's cool. Because I'd seen lasers before, right? Seen them at EDM shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, oh, that's kind of cool. It's kind of, you know, DJ-like. Like, I didn't understand that world at the time. And then I started working with Mobius 8. He's an incredible musician / he has a really cool instrument called the Hydra. It has a bunch of lasers that he touches. He creates light and sound by touching lasers with like these gloves on. He has these special gloves so he can touch the lasers and not burn his hands all night, you know. And every time he touches the laser, as he gets closer, he gets further away, it makes different sounds. And it also makes the lasers and the lights behind him react to his movement. So he's like essentially like a live DJ performing. It's hard to put into words, but just look him up online. Anyone listening, Mobius 8, he's amazing. Met him a while back. We started working together. I would just stay at his place for like days at a time before I moved to Vegas. And I was just so intrigued by his setup. Like, how does the laser do that? How come when you do this, the laser goes green? Oh, it's because it's programmed like this. Oh, well, how come you make it? How does it spin like that? Oh, because of this. And then I just got so interested. And then one summer, I think we had a tour coming up. And I was like, dude, let me see if I can help with programming the show. I like to learn more about it. And then I must have put like a week worth of nonstop YouTube tutorials, reading forums and stuff. And the next thing you know, I got addicted. And him having the lasers and having the gear was great, because lasers are an expensive thing to get into. But when you meet someone that kind of already has it going on, it's like, okay, I'm not really trying to do this full time, but I would like to see if I could take it to another level. And then once you figure that out, then I'm like, all right, I want my own lasers now. Yeah. I want this, I want that. And then it just becomes, it's like music. Someone shows you like how to play three chords And then you're like, wow, I just learned like 10 songs. And oh, I can learn 10 more. And I learn how to solo. And then 20 years go by and you're a musician. So the laser thing was just kind of like just for fun. And then over the years, people started hiring me to do lasers for them. And then I started doing tours where I bring my own lasers. Next thing you know, I'm like the guitar laser guy or whatever. But well, that's how I met Polly. I was doing lasers for Mariko, mm-hmm. this incredible cello player here in town. She plays mm-hmm. for everybody. And she was doing a music video. Mobius A was like, hey, man, my friend needs some lasers for a music video. You think you could hop in real quick and program something? She was probably the first person I ever worked for before, after Mobius.
Wow.
And then that's where I met Paul and Sam Friend and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. Just like anything else, you know, listen to your heart, listen to your passions. Like, I never thought I would like doing this stuff, but I was always interested. And once I got into it, I never turned back. I was like, this is awesome. I want to always do this.
Yeah, you know? I love the artist type because you guys are just, and I'm an artist too. I'm not going to put myself down, but the artist type are a special type. We can mm-hmm. really plug into our passion. We can really just hone in, focus in on something because of that curiosity. You learning the audio begrudgingly, but it turned out to be something special because mm-hmm. now when you go out touring, you know, level up on that experience mm-hmm. and your performance. And then now the laser thing coming in yeah. on another sideways, adding to the performance.
So for all the nerds out there that are listening and like, okay, why are we listening to a laser guy or guitarist guy talk about audio? Like, how is this all working out? Well, I'm curious to help that out real quick. How do you connect audio to lasers?
That's a really interesting thing. What I noticed is like, so Mobius 8, every time he would touch the lasers on his instrument, it makes the lasers all behind him do stuff with MIDI control. So he's using like IR sensors and like laser sensors and stuff to touch his instrument to make these cool, wow, these crazy sounds. But the sound and the audio is coming at the same time. And I was just like, how is that happening? You're obviously, there's something in the software where you're able to control what's going on with MIDI. So technically you should be able to do that with audio. And then that's when I went down the rabbit hole of like, what if we made a plugin? I started making these like custom plugins for myself at Ableton. It's like, what if I made a plugin like in Max for Live? It's like you can create your own little plugins in this software within a software called Max for Live. And it's like essentially gets audio signals and translates them to like MIDI and like laser signals or whatever. So I was able to like map a microphone to plug into a laser where like you sing and the laser moves to your singing or it moves to your guitar playing. I've even made a laser piano where like I can play the piano and every single 61 of the keys on the piano shoots one beam. So if I have 10 fingers down playing like a big chord, you see 10 beams shooting out.
Dude, I want to see this.
Oh, it's super epic. It's fun. We're going to be doing it on this tour, but crazy. Long story short is like, there's ways that you can connect worlds that you can't even imagine that you would. Like I was using Ableton for like 10 years plus before I even thought of doing something like that because I didn't know you could do something like that. And I think it's a great thing. It's a great thing to know. And then, same thing with like something as simple as the X32, right? You know, you learn the X32, you can talk to so many people across the globe that have the same thing, right? And then you meet some, you know, you're on tour, you meet some random dude in Germany and he teaches you something about it that you never thought you would learn. So that's just, to me, I always tell my creative friends, just don't ever think you know it all. Keep trying to learn. And when you think you know it all, you don't. You really don't. Never ends. Just like guitar playing, you can master the instrument, but you really haven't. There's so much still more to learn.
Thank you again, Gabriel, for coming. Really appreciate everything that you have to offer and so excited to get more in tune with everything that you have to show us. And I'll be following you on your journey.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. Our voice will be echoing endlessly.
I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And if you missed any of today's episode, you can find us anywhere podcasts are available, like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Talking with the Pros with me, Jess B. I love you, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.